Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way from the lighthouse on a Wednesday morning when I put the service together. And it was kind of a rainy night, and it's still raining yet this morning. I'm over here about 7 o'clock. But very special. I want to welcome you to Labor Day and to the first Sunday of September 2020. Man, summer is almost gone, folks. This is a coming into September, we realize now it's beginning to be that time of the year when you got to think about getting the docks out and all that kind of thing. But we'll just take it one day at a time, and I trust that you will as well. I welcome you to our service today. You tuned me in by the way of WDLP. Excuse me. You tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION. 1430 a.m. or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And also WION is tuned in at 100.3 FM in the Low Ada area. Others tune me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And both of these stations are now streaming their broadcast by the way of the web. And that's pretty special. It can be heard anywhere at this particular time as the service is being conducted. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you have tuned me in by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. And you bring your mouse up over messages from the lighthouse, and current media will show up, and then you click on current media, and it will take you for the message that is for today. And the message for today is the top one. I want to thank those who take care of the financial cost involved in bringing a broadcast to you. So today I want to start with Doug and Noreen Lane family. They're from the Sheridan area, and I appreciate their support so much. And Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, we appreciate their support. And Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence, that was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans, and we appreciate the support. To Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there, and the services at Shiloh Campus start Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And over in the Greenville, our second campus that we have, is located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And one of our pastors, Pastor Paul, he's in charge of bringing the message and the leadership there. And he's doing a good job, and we appreciate it very much. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music once again. She's so faithful to be able to do that for me, and I appreciate it so much. Well, I think that takes care of the things I need to take care of, all excepting our message for this morning. I got a message to deliver this morning that I believe God has laid on my heart, that I have never delivered anything like it before on a Labor Day. But this was what my message entitled, Labor Day Weekend 2020. We have a lot of work to do as a nation. Don't you believe that? We have a lot of work to do as a nation. And I'll come back in just a few moments, and we'll take a look at that message and see what God has in store for us. I'm going to use the idea this week of running a race. And God does that for us as Christians. He talks about running the race. And I thought, you know, as a nation, we need to realize we're running a race, not a race to become the president of the United States or something like that, but we just as an ordinary people of America are running a race, the race to be the best that we possibly can. And I'll address that in just a few moments. But you know, when they got done running the race, they always gave a crown of glory, some kind of a signification of that they were the number one winners. And you know what? God tells us as we live the Christian life, if we do what he wants us to do, he says, and live the way he wants us to live, he said, there'll be waiting for you a crown of glory. So let's listen in to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you that we have for today. Here we go. God bless you, and thank you for tuning me in.
Paul wrote to Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure now is at hand. I have fought a good fight. My course is now finished. A crown now is waiting when before God I stand. There is laid up for me, a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me, up in heaven a mansion.
That is
where I shall live eternally. Waiting. It's incorruptible and fades not away. I am kept by God's power through faith unto salvation. It now is awaiting to be rebuilt someday.
There is
laid up for me,
a
crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me, up in heaven.
Good start. I love that song. There's waiting for me, something ahead of me that I need to be thankful and grateful to God for. And that is, he's telling us there's not only a mansion of glory, but he's reminding us to be with this one, the Lord Jesus, as well. Well, as we come to our time together in prayer this morning, once again, I want to pray for you, the listening audience, that God's special blessing would be upon you, that he might minister to you in a very special way. And also, for the same time, I want to pray for our nation, for our leadership, and all of those that are in places of authorities. Let's just bow together for a moment. But before I do, if you have an unspoken request that you'd like to have me remember in prayer this morning, when I come to my place in my prayer where I'm going to remember all the unspoken requests, God knows what it is, you know what it is. If you just focus on what that unspoken request is, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless you in a very special way. So let's go to him. Father, once again, what a privilege it is to come into your presence. What a privilege it is to know that through the Lord Jesus, you've made a way for us to come right into the holiest of holies of God. And we do tell us in your word, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and we might find help in our time of need. And dear Father, today we're coming in behalf of the listening audience. They're the congregation for this morning, and so we ask your special blessing to rest upon each and every one that have tuned me in, whatever way they have tuned me in. Would you minister to them in a very special way? Dear Father, if they need some physical help, I pray you'll be their source of strength. If they need some emotional help, I pray that you'll be their calming spirit. If they need some comfort, dear Father, you are the God of all comfort. And you've comforted me in so many ways. And dear Father, though if they've lost a loved one or whatever else it is, and they need some comfort this morning, I pray that you would comfort them in a very special way. If it's something to do with financial help, Father, or family help, Would you lead them and direct them and meet their every need according to your will? Now, there may be somebody under the hearing of my voice this morning that has an unspoken request. And, dear Father, you know what it is, and they know what it is. So right now, they are focusing on what their unspoken request is. And, dear Father, I'm coming to you in their behalf. I'm believing that you're able to meet them at the meat of their, at the need that they have as an individual. And right now, Father, I want to pray for all of those unspoken requests. Would you give them wisdom and knowledge and decision that needs to be made? Would you show them, Father, your will and way and give them the confidence that they are doing the thing that you want them to do? And, dear Father, we'll thank you for that. On this Labor Day weekend, we want to remember our nation once again. Remember those in places of authority. You remind us that we should pray for our president, for the governor of our state, for all the different political people that are in places of authority. Father, I pray that they wouldn't just use that place as a place for their own personal gain. I pray that each and every one of them, Father, would have in this trying period of our life as a nation, the need of America at hand, the need of the individuals that make up America at hand. Minister to them and through them to bring about the results that you want to see happen. Now go with us the rest of this morning. We're going to look into your word. We're going to gain some thought of maybe what we can do to help America be the way you would want her to be. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, you know, there's certain things that if a person is running a race that they need to do. And there's certain things that cause them to be able to accomplish the thing that they want to. You know, when we think back over Labor Day 2019 to our present day Labor Day weekend 2020, our nation has had a lot upon us as a individuals and as a nation, causes our mind and our heart to be confused. I believe that we as a nation need to heed the warning God gave when he said in Mark chapter 3, 24 and 25, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot last. If a household or a family is divided against itself, that household will not last. God is saying to you and I today, I think when it comes to America, there's so many things that's dividing us. So many things that everybody's got their own idea of what they think it ought to be. And dear, I just trust that the dear Father would teach each one of us today that we need to reflect upon some things in order to see where we're at. This is a good time to reflect upon what's happened in America 2020 and also to reflect upon our commitment, our individual commitment to do what God wants us to do. I like it when they say a ball team is sticking to their game plan. I hope we have a game plan for America in your heart, a game plan to heal our nation. This week, I want to use a foundation for our study, the idea of running a race and being committed as a race runner. May I say this, folks? Maybe I say it two times. Commitment is a need, not an option. May I say it again. Commitment is a need, not an option. We need to be committed to being the best American citizen we can possibly be and to be a part of the healing of our nation. As a Christian, I want to be committed to run the race designed by God, as he tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith in the 11th chapter, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, and especially the sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. I want that for my life. I want that for my heart. Listen to what he also says. Don't you realize that everyone who runs a race runs to win, but only the one winner gets the prize? Run like them so that you can win. You know, even if you didn't get the prize, if you ran the best race you was possible to do, that is something that is very special. And then he gives this warning in Galatians. You ran very well. Who hindered you? Somebody touched you. Somebody bumped you from obeying the truth. This persuasion that was making you kind of give up on your race, that doesn't come from God. Do you realize, he says, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump of the dough. A little leaven goes through it all. And I believe we in America today are living with a little leaven. Remember when you were younger, when you would say something like this, on your mark, get set, go. One that I liked when I was a kid, excuse me. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. This is a time when God is saying to us, we need to follow the course that God has laid out for us. And we need to make sure we're having a commitment that each one of us are going to cross the finish line. I believe I have seen this work out so many times. If you are not a part of the problem, you should be a part of the healing. So the race that lies ahead of us, we should run and never give up. Please, don't give up as an American. So run the race that we can win. And make sure you run well. Don't let anybody hinder you from doing the very best that we can. I believe we need to realize that this is a time for us to realize. A nation divided. That's what Jesus said. A kingdom divided against itself. That kingdom will not last. And I have seen through this pandemic that there's been even sometimes because of all the things that we can't do, there's many even families that have division within them. So we can need to consider that this is a running of the race. You and I, as individual Americans, running the race, the best race we possibly could. You know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is often called the Hall of Faith or the Wall of Faith, God shares with us and challenges us. Because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of that stuff that's hindering us from running our best race. There's others that have gone on before us in the spiritual world that have run the race, and we need to be able to do that. In that song that we listened to at the beginning, it really comes from a thought that was coming from the heart of a man by the name of Apostle Paul. He had gotten older, and he knew his time was soon to be finished on planet Earth. And so he's talking to a young man by the name of Timothy, who is also going to be a minister. And he's saying this to him, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of those who have loved his appearing. And I believe you love his appearing when you know that you've done your very best that you can possibly do as an individual. Right now here at the Long Lake, we're getting a little bit more rain. The rain is bouncing off from the water, and there's this feeling of coolness that just came through the window. I believe you and I need to realize that now and then we need that refreshing thing that the rain does for us. We need that refreshing thing when the humidity gets a little lower. We're living every day in the midst of adversity, and I believe that is where we usually can discover the depth of our commitment. Remember, commitment is not an option. It's a necessity. We need to be committed. Our commitment is our action that speaks louder than our words. A lot of times we hear things about words, and they're saying a whole lot of things about words. I always kept in my mind this thought, and it's been beneficial to me. When all is said and done, there'll be a whole lot more said than done. And, you know, talk comes cheap. My stepdad used to say, talk comes cheap. Takes money to buy whiskey. Well, you need to realize, dear people, our nation is hearing a lot of chatter today. A lot of chatter going on in the political world. But I believe God wants to have us consider all of those people in the past of our nation that have paid such a supreme price. All of the effort that's been put in on this Labor Day, all of the effort in the past has been the effort that's been put into making this nation a nation that is honoring to God. I think they're whispering in your ear, and they're whispering in my ear, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Keep on going. That's what I'm saying to you this morning, folks. As Americans, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on going. Don't lose heart. Trust in God. I use the idea of running a race to illustrate the commitment America, commitment to America. I believe this is what God is saying. We need to get rid of the stuff that's going to hinder us. You see, when a person's going to run a race, they don't have on a whole lot of heavy clothes. They lighten their load as much as they can. And when they're going to run a race, they make a commitment to it. They're going to get rid of some stuff that would hinder them in their own individual life. And then the idea is that we're going to need to lay aside some of those things that we know work as snares. You know, one of the sins that I think is a snare is the sin of procrastination. When we know something we could do to help, and we don't do it. When we don't respond to our own individual ways that we can make America the way God would have it to be. You know, I have an alarm clock in my bedroom. Most of the time I have an internal alarm clock. I generally wake up about 6 o'clock every morning. I sometimes wake up more than often in the night, a couple times in the night. But you know, in the morning, I don't use an alarm clock. But you know, one of the things that alarm clock has that I've never used, it has what it calls a snooze button. A snooze button. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, I hit that snooze button about 3 times before I get up. If I was using an alarm clock and that alarm clock would go off, the first thing I'm going to do is be out of bed. I don't want to use that snooze button. It just procrastinates what you've got to do. No, no. Just get up. Get up. Run the race that is before you and have some endurance as you run that race. You know, Apostle Paul, I love it when he said, I finished the race. And you know something, folks? God's going to bless him for finishing the race. I've always loved Special Olympics when I can see it on TV. Haven't been to a whole lot when it's happening individually at the racetrack or whatever. But I've always loved the Special Olympics. When a person crosses the finish line, there's somebody there to give them a great big hug. A big hug as they cross the finish line. You know what I'm trying to share with you this morning? I believe if you'll be the best American that you can possibly be, if you'll do it in faith and trusting God as you run the race, I believe God is there to give us a hug and to say to us, well done, you've run the race, you've finished the course. That brings me to my next thought I want to share with you. As we think about this idea of running the race for our nation, I think we have to keep in mind, I think we have to focus on what it is like to cross the finish line. What it is like to get beyond what we're going through right now and to get back to some sense of normal living. We've all missed that. We all have different things that we have missed. And I trust in that one of these days we'll make sure we finish, we'll cross the finish line. You know what? I believe it is important. I've seen this when they have races, you know, where when they shoot the gun, everybody's supposed to take off. If somebody takes off a little too early, they got to go back and start over again. I believe with all my heart, it's good to have a good start. But bigger than that and more important than that, I believe with all my heart, it is good to finish well. We want to cross the finish line. The last words of the Lord Jesus as he committed his spirit to the Father, he simply said, "It is finished." And you and I need to know, we need to finish the things that is there. I love the way it is explained by the Lord Jesus as it thinks back on his life in the book of Philippians chapter 3. "It is not that I already reached the goal," Paul is saying, "already completed the course. I know God's got a course for me, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me." I'll come back to that. "Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride, and I run straight towards the goal to win the prize of the heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus." In other words, to finish line, to do what I should. "Whoever has a mature faith should think this way. And if you think differently, God will show you how to think. However, we should be guided by what we have already learned so far." You know, Paul is telling us that Christ has finished the race, and he wants to be a finisher. And he realized that there's certain things we can learn from his life that will help us. He had a rough start, and yet he's running the Christian life, race of life, beautifully. He's crossing over the finish line. I love what he shares from his life that made this possible. He knew he was in the process of running. He knew he had not already crossed the finish line. And we need to know that. We're in the process of running day by day. And we need to realize that there's some things we need to do. And he's reminding us the main thing is to keep on running. With the thought the runner is running to win. And you know what he said? "I want to win what Jesus has already won for me." God knows your potential. And in Jesus, he knows. We could be a better American. We could be a better Christian. We could live a better life that's going to help our nation. We could be a part of the healing to help others to help our nation. And we need to be able to do that with the goal in mind of crossing the finish line to become the very best that we can possibly become. I'm sure you've heard it said before. "I want to get back to normal," or whatever the new normal is going to look like. We want that as individuals, and I believe we want that as a nation. Paul shared that there was three things that he could do to help that, and I believe these same three things is what I need in my life, and I believe it's what America needs today. First of all, he said, "This is what I do. I don't look back." You can't run very well looking backwards. You'll trip, you'll stumble, you'll fall. Second thing he said, "I lengthen my stride." He lengthens his stride. You know, if you're going to run the race, you can't do it with baby steps. There comes a time when we as Americans, there comes a time when we as Christians, there comes a time within our nation where we got to lengthen our stride. We got to put a little more effort into it. We got to lengthen how far we're going to move in each step. And then thirdly, he said, I run straight towards the finish line. The goal that is ahead of me is to cross the finish line. I believe God is calling for us to be a chaser of God. And I believe if you want to be a good chaser of God, you want to run after God, I believe we have to quit looking back. I think we have to lengthen our stride. And I think we have to run towards the goal that he has for us. In my years of ministry as a pastor, I married some 2,100 people. And when couples come to me to do their wedding, I would share that if they wanted to get the best out of their marriage, and I look at each one of them individually, and I say to the lady, if you want to give the best out of your marriage, you've got to give it 110%. Then I turn to the man, look at him. If you want to get the best out of this marriage, you've got to give it 110%. You know why I did that? I would share this with him next. We're living in a society that says just do enough to slide by. Just enough to get by. But I say, you know what? Marriage won't work unless you each give it 110%. I always like to say, that makes it 220. I'll tell you, if I'm going to monkey with electricity at 110, that's one thing. But if I'm going to monkey with electricity at 220, that's a whole different thing, folks. And I had a picture of my devotion. It showed what it was for a person to have 100% stride. And then it shows what it was like to have 114% stride. Just to stretch it a little further. Just to do something beyond what we're capable of doing on our own as we trust God. Well, I got to give my voice a little break. And you need a break from me talking. We'll listen to a song for a few moments. And this song is entitled, That Hug That God Wants to Give Us Is Well Done. You did a good job. Just think of that Olympic runner crossing the finish line. I had a picture of that in my mind. Crossing the finishing line, smiling from ear to ear, and there's somebody to give him a big hug. And that feels so good to him or to her to get that big hug as they pass over the finish line. That's what God is saying to us. He's going to give us a hug. Well done. Here we go.
Working for Jesus here in this world has its reward. Though sometimes the road gets long when I travel so far, but I don't serve Jesus for what I'll receive. I serve him because he died for me. Just knowing I'm his and he's mine, that's worth everything. When I see my Lord face to face, I want to worship at his feet for the rest of my day. I don't need the crown or the robe of white, a golden street or a mansion so bright, but I long to hear from the Holy One, is my child well done? Thank you. just to have Jesus welcome me home, that's heaven to me. I want to praise His name through eternity. Oh, what a joy to hear Him say, "Child, you've been faithful a long life's way. Come enter into the place I've prepared, your home to stay. When I see my Lord face to face, I want to worship at His feet for the rest of my day. I don't need the crown or the robe of white, a golden street or a mansion so bright. What I long to hear from the Holy One is, my child, well done. I don't need the crown or the robe of white, a golden street or a mansion so bright. What I long to hear from the Holy One, my child will come. What I long to hear is, my child will know. Well done.
My child, well done. That's what we want to hear. We don't do this for serving God as a nation or serving God as an American, serving God as a Christian. We don't do it to get the prize. We do it because of love. That's what God is saying to us this morning. You know, one of the things that's beneficial, I believe, with all my heart, is when you're going through a difficult time, to think back of the times of blessing, the times of good things happening in your life. I believe America often forgets the blessings of who we are, the blessings that we have in this nation. And sometimes it's just an idea that we don't quite understand what God's trying to share with us. You see, God's intent for us as individuals that make up this nation of America is that He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. One of the verses that is known by almost any person, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not die, but would have eternal life." But listen to this, folks. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And then He says those who believe in Him won't be condemned, but those who don't believe are already condemned because they don't believe in God's only Son. God's reminding us that just one Jesus, the motivation of God to help us, was giving us His Son, the Lord Jesus. The motivation of the Lord Jesus to help us was to give us the fact that He died on that cross for our sins, to give us the freedom of not being bound down by sin, but to be set free so we can use our life to be the best American we could possibly be, to help our nation the most that we could possibly help it. And it has to be a motivation out of love and not out of condemning. God's warned the people in the past. I love this when God said, no matter who you are, If you judge anyone, you have no excuse. When you judge another person, you condemn yourself. Since you who judge do the same things. We know that God's judgment is right when he condemns people for doing these things. When you judge people for doing those things that you yourselves are doing, do you think you escape God's judgment? Do you have contempt for God? Now listen to what he says. Who is very kind to you. He puts up with you. He deals patiently with you. Don't you realize that it is God's kindness? It's God's kindness that he's trying to lead you to him and to change the way you think and the way you act. It's because we're leaving Jesus out of our life, folks. He loves us so much, and he's patient and all these other things with us. And all the kindness that you can think of in your life where you know God has been kind to you. He's saying that kindness is to lead you to a place of repentance. And a change in a repent means a change. To change the way you think and to change the way you act. You know, if you want to change your actions, you have to change your thinking. God's reminding us that. Have you noticed in our society today, in our world today, in your individual life, we're living in places in a time of exchange. You'd go to work to earn money, and then you take your money and you exchange it for the things that you want to buy. I believe God's challenging us today to realize that we're going to have to exchange some things. And God says, I want you to exchange the judging and condemning that you do. I didn't send my son to condemn the world. I want you to quit your condemning and judging one another. Instead, I want you to practice some kindness. God's kindness is leading to a place of repentance and the changing of your mind. You know what, folks? I just believe America needs a change of thinking. And I think if we keep leaving God out, that change of thinking is just going to get worse and not better. We focus upon the difficult, and that's also a part of life. The nation of Israel, when they always focused on the difficult, you know, there's no other nation, there's no other people that I can share with you than I could the nation of America, the nation of Israel. It surrounded a period of time in their lives of about 1,800 years. God would tell them what to do. They'd do it for a while, and then they would quit. And you know what the nation of Israel did through that entire 18 years? Is what they did was they repeated history over and over again. The same thing. They never got beyond it. They never learned beyond it. And one of the reasons they said that was true is because of the realization that they had destroyed the foundation of obedience to God as a necessity in order for this promises of God to work out. And I believe that's what God's saying to us when he said this, gave us this promise. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek my face, then God says, I will heal their land. I will forgive their sin. And I believe we as Americans are in that need. Let me do one more thing before I leave. I'm not talking about this and the idea of being trying to help the world politically or socially. I'm thinking that the foundation is spiritually. We've wandered away from our spiritual foundation, and we need to get back to that spiritual foundation. There's a portion of scripture in the book of Judges that says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And you know, when we're doing something that we think is right in our own eyes, that causes us to realize that we can understand that what is happening with each one of us as an individual that we need to know that God is trying to teach us some things that we need to understand as an individual to bring about the results that God wants in our life. And it goes on in that book of Proverbs with a book of wisdom. And every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord, he looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. And in the book of Hebrews 4:13, it says, nothing is hid from the eyes of the Lord. The Lord can see everything. You know, I believe we as Americans, if we don't get back to the spiritual side, I believe we're just going to repeat history over and over again. We should learn from history. God tells us everything that was written in the Old Testament is written to help you today. So you can learn from their lives and the way they lived their life and the difficulty that they experienced when they were disobedient. Now, if God gives us all of that in the book of his Bible, and we just neglect that, it's very difficult for God to pronounce his blessings upon us, his satisfaction of our life, because we need to change our thinking in order to change our action. And you know, I think the best one that I could give you this morning to illustrate that is the mind of the Lord Jesus and the actions of the Lord Jesus. It's given to us in the book of Philippians. It's telling us what the thinking process of Jesus was like. And I don't know, can I be honest with you? I'm confused about the thinking process of the political world today. I'm not knocking our nation. I'm just confused. I'm confused about the social world today. How everybody wants to do what is right in their own eyes. And God is left out of it. And the things of God is left out of it. Jesus came because of love. But Jesus had to do something within himself to be able to offer that love. The same as I need to and the same as you need to offer the best love that we possibly can. So listen to what it says of Jesus. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any comfort from love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, any affection, if there's any sympathy, complete my joy, Paul is saying, by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We got so many minds leading us today. He says, think about Jesus now. Now listen, now he's going to describe to us the mind of the Lord Jesus. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others, having the mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count that equality with God anything to grasp a hold of and to hang on to, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, even a baby in the manger, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the terrible death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every on heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's reminding us, folks, we need a little bit of that kind of thinking as a nation. We need to get to that. But all we like sheep have gone astray, according to the book of Isaiah. And the Lord has laid upon this one Jesus all of the sins of our wrongdoing and our wrong ways we've conducted ourselves. So let me ask the question in closing, and we're going to listen to a song that talks about God's grace is marvelous to us. He wants to reach out with that grace to each one of us. But let me remind you, as an individual today, I think I want to not so much look at the answers in the political world or the answers in the social world. I believe the answer is in the spiritual world. And I believe God is saying to us, is your eyes on the shepherd, or is your eyes just on yourself? And to help us to think that we need God's grace. Here we go, God's grace. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.